This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Strong talk, Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 17th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm doing well. I am exhausted, and there's a ton to talk about. So strap in. We're in for a ride.
Yes. The meetings to set up the meetings ended up with lots of meetings. And there's a lot to talk about here as we go over everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. It was day 10 in the house and it was a packed day. Now, the feeds were down for a long time, for the wild card competition, for the nominations. But I'll give him some props. Kyland came through for us, very efficient in his conversations. He set it up and he knocked it down. Now, normally when people are like, oh, we don't want to talk game the night they won the HOH, it's frustrating mostly because you wanted to see them talk, you know, that night, but also because by the time it gets around to it, they don't really end up talking that much. But as I said, Kyland came through for us here today.
This was fabulous, especially because he also, you know, sometimes in the way that he speaks when he takes his time and he talks a lot. So to have these efficient meetings where it's like, okay, let me give you the preamble. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to take in information. Let me just ask you a bunch of questions. Boom, boom, boom. Super efficient. We got through team meetings. We got through personal meetings. So everything leading up to the nominations was really just jam packed.
Yes. This is also, I'm really upset that I don't have a better setup for you guys right now because, I had an idea for like a higher production, just the way that Kylan set up the day, but I can't do it on StreamYard because, you know, but anyway, let's get into it. Let's talk about what happened here yesterday on the Big Brother 23. Live feeds. Kylan, of course, is our HOH. The night before, things had been set into motion that he was going to have one-on-ones with everyone about he turned into 5 minutes long each. Took conversations with teams and conversations with you know, other individuals to get a sense of what he wanted to do. He set it all up. We also knew that Tiffany and Claire and Derek X had a plan to try to convince Kylan to go after Frenchie, Brent, and Whitney. They didn't really have time for that plan, but that was what we were looking into, heading into the day. And, there was really nothing of note prior to the feeds cutting for the wildcard competition, mostly because it happened so soon. And, you know, Tiffany, went to go talk to Kylan, but feeds went down. people were picked for the wild card competition, and they didn't even come back up after the picks. They just went straight into the competition, and they were down for, you know, roughly 5 or so hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we went from just a little bit of Frenchie saying, oh, I've talked to you like a man, blah, 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 to Derek X, which is, you know, useless. And then, yeah, like Taryn said, the feeds went down and then we come back. What I've put together is we've missed a subset of the meetings, but essentially when feeds come back, we are bam, 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 team meetings. So Kylan wanted to take meetings with the aces, kings, queens, jokers, which I think we at least saw the kings and queens. And then we get these individual meetings. And so you kind of get to see like everybody's attempt at talking to Kylan before nominations, in between wildcard nominations.
Yes. So we come back from the wildcard competition and we learn that, of course, three people competed. Those three people were Frenchie, Brent, and Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth, I presume volunteered, as did, you know, Frenchie. We had discussed that Frenchie was going to go ahead, and compete, for his team. And the winner of the wildcard competition was Sarah Beth. two of the potential targets this week, competing for safety, but Sarah Beth comes through and puts a big old blocker right on their hopes and dreams. She was then offered the chance to change teams, to the queens. How this would have worked, from what we have gathered, is that she would have changed places with either Tiffany or Claire, pulling them off of the team, making them not safe. And then her joining the team and becoming safe, she decided to turn that opportunity down. She remains in the Kings, and she is not safe this week, theoretically.
Right. Yeah. I mean, of all people, right, Kylan's essentially number one, or one of the people he trusts the most, ends up winning, which, by the way, thanks, Sarah Beth, for saving us from that outcome. And then what a flex to then just not take the deal, just be like, No, I'm good. Thanks. Like, I don't need the safety. I'm not going to switch with anybody, which makes sense the way that they wanted to do the twist. The other thing that like pops up at various times throughout the night is the fact that Frenchie at one point claimed that he wanted, or I heard from Sarah Beth and Brent that they both heard Frenchie wanted to them to throw the competition to him. And then later Frenchie is claiming that he threw the competition. So that's the only like other thing of note that comes from the wildcard competition this week.
Yes. And I have to say, Sarah Beth choosing not to take the safety is a great move in a lot of different ways. Now, obviously, the downside is that it shows how comfortable she feels with Kylan. But the benefits are immense, because joining the team of Tiffany, Claire, and Kylan, obviously one of them would be off the team at that point, is pointless to her. It just further connects her to those people. It gives her safety if one of them win, but she's in an alliance with all of them. And so she doesn't need safety from them. Staying with the Kings, three people that she is somewhat close to, but doesn't have as much of a personal bond to, certainly not in any alliances outside of the Kings with them, is much more beneficial to her game. She's 100% safe if any of Xavier, Alyssa, or Christian win HOH. And those are people that she's not 100% locked in with, apart from the fact that she's on the team with them. So spreading that out as much as possible is a great move. And I love what she did here.
And the fact that the Kings of all the teams have probably been one of the closest. I mean, the Queens now with Travis being gone, but the Kings are so close. And so then continuing to maintain and demonstrate that loyalty, especially being the one that wasn't, you know, invited to the slaughterhouse. I think that love this from her.
Yes. So that's what happened with the wildcard competition. Now, there were some other things that went down while the feeds were down that are going to heavily influence a lot of the conversations that we're going to get, and we're going to sort of piece it together throughout the conversations. But the basics are that Frenchie started to freak out, get a little paranoid, and he said to Whitney that that he's been hearing that the slaughterhouse is turning on him and that he is done with them. He said that in front of other people, and so we don't know exactly what spawned this, or how it happened, but again, we will be hearing bits and pieces of it throughout the night during these conversations. So we can sort of start to piece some of that together as we go.
And most importantly, he said it in front of people who are not in the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
And so that's really the biggest affront. And he pointed at Whitney and he said he was done with this in front of people like Hannah. And so that's really what kind of throws a lot of the conversations or throws information into a lot of these conversations.
Mm-hmm. So Feith come back from the slaughterhouse competition, from the wildcard competition. And Brittany and Tiffany quickly talk. Brittany is happy that Sarah Beth won because nobody ended up safe, which is better for her. Sarah Beth, Tiffany, and Claire are going to do a celebration in the bathroom. Go, Sarah Beth. Go, Sarah Beth. It's the jackpot. You just got hit by the jackpot. They're very happy. Tiffany and Claire are going to talk, talking about how it seems like Brittany is panicking, and they still need her for numbers maybe, but they probably shouldn't tell her anything. They don't really trust her. She seems like, too loose of a cannon here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was interesting. It was nice to see their insight. I mean, Claire and Tiffany spent a lot of the day together, which will start to worry me if they don't start to separate a little bit more. But they came across as essentially like an unbreakable pair. I mean, they get there on the same team and it's only them and then Kylan. So maybe it's understandable. But we get a lot of their insight today.
Mm-hmm. So then in the middle of everything, nominations today pops up on the screen, and they all start running for the hills. Kylan, where's Kylan? Nominations today, Kylan. And he's in the bathroom. The Kylan, and he goes out and he's, I knew they were going to do this to me. Okay, we got to start now. We got to like get this moving. And so I don't know if we missed prior to this, as you said, some meetings, or if we missed some meetings that took place after the feeds cut. But basically we did miss some of the meetings. But from here we went into hyperdrive, and Kylan begins his meetings. The first one being with the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've got the Kings. That's of course, Xavier, Alyssa, Sarah Beth, and Christian. And so Kylan is going to give everyone the same spiel here. He says that he's just going to be collecting information. He's not going to be giving any information. He's going to ask some questions. You don't have to answer them, but you know, having one HOH, that gives him the power to ask questions and try to gather information. And so he asks them, like, is there anyone as a team that you guys would like to go up? And Xavier and Alyssa all both kind of like dodge the question, like, well, we're more concerned about us being good than throwing out anyone else's name. And they're like, do you have any questions for us? And like, it's kind of an awkward situation. The team meeting thing, it's not going well so far. But basically, they're like, you're not a target for us, obviously. And he says that, what I'm looking for is that I would like for, you know, us to align. I'm looking for people that can help me in physical competitions. I can't compete next week. And they're like, ooh, well, we've got you covered. We're a strong team. We've won both wildcard competitions. We're doing well. And so that's basically it here with the Kings.
I think Xavier described their team as loyal, unproblematic, and cute as hell, which I think is a really great selling point. So love that from them. Yeah. And then this was also, I think, just Kylan had already, he said he implied that he had already talked to the Jokers. So that was already done. So that's so that had already happened. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of awkward because when you have the whole team, but like, people have individual interests. It was just weird. Even though they are close, it was weird to have them kind of like all pitch together. Although I think, you know, we might see some actual team alliances, team A words, come together through this. But at the moment, yeah, it's just like, look, we're an asset to you. We're unproblematic. Like, keep us around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he then calls in the Aces. So the Aces come in. And this is, of course, Brent, Whitney, Derek X and Hannah. There's nothing really that goes on here either. Derek's like, this feels like a job interview. Brent says he feels very comfortable that Kylan is HOH, but there's nothing really to say here. And it doesn't really go anywhere. However, we're going to get a little interlude that happens in between these. And so this is basically what's happening. Kylan is going to spend the next like 2 hours or hour or two, whatever it is, calling people in, and each person has their own section. But then we have some interludes in between of some conversations that happen in between these, or like during these conversations that are happening. And this like block of 2 hours is just absolutely jam packed full of constant game talk conversations. And it's amazing to watch. It's basically the entire week boiled into 2 hours. That's amazing. Hopefully it doesn't mean that, that we're not going to see as much throughout the rest of the week, but wow, was it great for this, block of time.
Yeah, it was tough keeping up with both because both like sets of cams are on something interesting that's happening at the time. And you're trying to infer stuff that happened in the past. So, you know, we're going to do our best to describe everything today because wow, this conversation that Taryn is alluding to is Sarah Beth taking it upon herself to tell her team, the Kings, that Frenchie essentially outed the Slaughterhouse Alliance. And mm-hmm. she knows, at least, that he implied that all three members of her team were in the Slaughterhouse.
Yeah, she starts off, she just says, and she works quickly because Kings talked for 5 minutes with Kylan. Then they left. They stayed outside on the loft while he called in the Aces and talked to them for 5 minutes. So this was within the 5 minutes that he was talking to the Aces before he called Sarah Beth right in. And she just quickly says, look, there's something I need to talk to you guys about. Frenchie told me that there's an alliance that I'm not in that includes the entire other side of the house and that all three of you are in it. And they were like, what? And she says, look, if you are in it, I get it. But I want to be able to work with you guys and I want to be with you guys. I don't think that we can trust Frenchie. And they're like, no, clearly not. And she's like, I think that we need to work with Kai and his team and make that the alliance. And they say that, well, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets called back into Kylan's room.
Yes. Oh my God. And then we begin the one-on-one meetings. Oh my gosh. I loved this so much. I couldn't tell at the moment whether or not she was lying, right? Because she knows about the Slaughterhouse and she's just throwing Frenchie under the bus. Frenchie then, ends up outing the Slaughterhouse or at least parts of the Slaughterhouse later. So I was like, well, maybe he did, especially if he had the thing where he pointed at Whitney and he freaked out and he said, I'm out. So it's entirely possible that he did say something. And so Sarah Beth isn't using the information she got from Kylan to then out and like make this play. But either way, I loved this from her.
Yes. So she gets called in by Kylan and she says, okay, so let me tell you, Frenchie told me about the alliance earlier today. Mm-hmm. And so I just told my team and they didn't admit to being in it. But yes, Frenchie told me about this thing. And so this is a good thing for us. She says, Frenchie's walking around, convinced he's going home. I'm trying to reel the Kings in away from Frenchie. And Kylan says, oh, that's so great. Okay. But look, I'm trying to test myself right now and not tell you what my plans are. So this is going to be sort of a side quest for Kylan, is that he's trying to not reveal any information, even to the people he's closest to. And he says that is a test for him to if I cannot tell the people I'm close to my information, then I definitely won't be telling the people I'm not close to my information. Although I'm not sure that it played out exactly that way.
Yeah, no, it slips up here and there, but that was kind of interesting. That was part of his training regimen, I guess, of keeping information to himself. And then, meanwhile, the Kings, right, while Sarah Beth and Kylan are having this conversation, the Kings, the remaining other three members of the Kings, are now talking about what to do with this information. The fact that Frenchie just outed them, apparently, to Sarah Beth. How do we rat Frenchie out to Kylan and throw him under the bus?
Yes, and this is when we first hear that Alyssa's telling the story that Whitney apparently said that Frenchie told her that he's done with the Slaughterhouse earlier today. And that must be why he blew it up to Sarah Beth. And so they're still reeling from this information. Mm-hmm. What we missed is that Frenchie did all of the work for Kylan and Sarah Beth here. And really, in some ways helped them out, but in some all other ways also helped, I think to some degree, the Slaughterhouse out as they get to kind of, stay together, united against Frenchie. Also, another interlude is that Tiffany and Derek are quickly going to talk. And Derek is worried. He's like, I'm not going to have time to convince Kylan to do this move that we want to do. Luckily for them, it happened anyway because of this whole Frenchie business. But Tiffany says, stick to the plan. Tell Kylan your information, your one-on-one. Like, we're going to make this happen. Whitney goes in. And so we're going to hear directly from Whitney now. She says, yes, Frenchie earlier today told me that he was done with the alliance right in front of Hannah. Kylan says, how does it benefit this alliance to have Frenchie in it at this point? She says, it doesn't. And he says, well, should he be given the opportunity to... I just broke what I wanted and told the thought. So please don't. Okay. So who in the rest of the seven do you trust? And she says, I trust everyone in the alliance, except Big D. I'm not sure about Big D. I don't know what's going on with Big D, but like this rogue vote and with everything else that's going on, I'm not sure about him, but everyone else in the alliance I'm cool with.
Mm-hmm. And Kylan asked very similar, essentially the same question to everybody in the slaughterhouse, which was, do you feel that it would be a benefit or a detriment to keep him in the alliance? We're, you know, going to try to not name names, Kylan. And then, yeah, who else do you feel close with? Essentially trying to figure out whether or not the slaughterhouse could work together if Frenchie were to be removed. And he implied it, Kylan implied it, and I think Kylan also like straight up mentioned essentially the fact that Frenchie is a Devon. Can we remove Frenchie and then still continue to work together as the slaughterhouse? Like, is it worth it for Kylan to try to preserve the rest of the slaughterhouse if he's going to go after Frenchie and remove him here? So that's a constant theme. Started here in this Whitney conversation, and then you see it with the rest of the slaughterhouse members as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Meanwhile, by the way, we've got like Brittany keeping time. Claire is helping out with keeping like at 5 minutes. There's a knock on the door and it's sorry, you got to go. Somebody else is coming in. Alyssa, it's Alyssa's turn. Alyssa comes in right after the vote, Christian came to me and said that Frenchie told me that there were two rogue votes. One was Big D, and that the other one wanted to remain anonymous. Clearly Frenchie was the one that set up these two votes, asked Big D to do this and asked somebody else to do this, but we don't know who. And she tells him the story about Frenchie telling Whitney that he's done with the alliance. And he says, well, okay, how do you feel about the alliance apart from the person we're talking about? She says, I feel good about them. So, would you want to keep that seven or make a different seven? I'm not sure. I trust everyone else in the alliance, but I don't even understand why Frenchie's freaking out right now. That's basically all I have. He says, do you know of any alliances outside of our alliance? And she says, well, I know that there was a girls one, but me and Whitney were not a part of it. We weren't asked to be in it. Okay. Boom. Done.
Next meeting, Derek X up to talk. Like, we seriously are going so rapid fire here through the meetings, like Kylan was. It was very impressive.
Yes. Okay, Derek X. Kylan says, I'm not telling everyone anything, and I'm using the people I trust as practice. Okay. And he says, do you trust Frenchie, essentially? And Derek essentially says, not really. Derek says, so poor Derek has been tasked by Tiffany to explain the entire structure of the house to Kylan, and that he's on the bottom, that he needs to make this move. And so he's trying to be like, okay, so here's what I think is going on. I think Frenchie has formed a big alliance, and I think that I'm not in it, and I think that you're not, you know, in a good spot. Kylan basically says, let me stop you here. I need information from other people, so I've got to move on right now. And Derek is like, oh, okay. Well, just, I mean, is there a chance that we'll get to talk more later, maybe? And he's like, maybe if there's more time. Okay.
Yeah, it was so funny because everybody got the, you know, okay, standard 5 minutes with Brittany's knock on the door to try to move everybody along. And then the one person who like wanted a longer bit of time to really go through this whole explanation, this plan that has been in place now for 24 hours, he just like gets cut off. I don't know if Kylan was like, I think I have all the information that you can provide and it's not worth it for me to talk to you. So just scurry along. Like, you know, if Derek X is talking about a big alliance and, oh, Kylan's not a part of it. Well, Kylan already knows about the slaughterhouse. So Kylan's like, no, 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 like, get out. I have people to talk to.
All right. So he pulls Christian in. He tells Kylan what he knows about the votes, which was what Alyssa told him, which is that Frenchie said that he knew that the two votes were Big D and somebody that wanted to remain anonymous, and they don't know who that person is. Mm-hmm. He thinks that the vote was intended to frame Kylan and Derek. That's also what Derek was talking about. And he says that I don't feel good about the slaughterhouse because of Frenchie, and I don't feel good about the butchers either because I'm not sure what Big D is up to right now. And this is bad for Big D because Christian was one of the people that Big D like really had. But they barely talked game, and now he's doing all these things with Frenchie, and Christian is backing away from this situation. Kylan says, well, should we allow this mastermind that we're speaking of to play in the veto? And Kylan and Christian says, yeah, I think we should. And Kylan says, yeah, I agree.
Damn it.
Oh. French.
Oh, I didn't want to reveal it. Oh. And Christian's like, no, I'm happy you did. It means you're letting your guard down around
me. Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah. Kylan's really beating himself up about it. He's, oh, he did so well. A fortress until Christian came in and broke it all down. When really all he said was, yeah, I agree. But this was good because this gave us a little bit of insight to, so he might put Frenchie straight up on the block.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hannah comes in. She says she doesn't think the rogue votes were Brent and Whitney, even though she initially had. She says that her primary allegiance is to the cookout. She doesn't know about the name of the cookout, but she names all the people in the cookout. That's what she's referring to. She says that he asks her if she was in any other alliances or she knows about any other alliances. She says that Frenchie approached the women about a women's alliance and called it French Kisses. But none of us were into it. And that he is a loose cannon. The second you won HOH, he was running around saying that he knew he was going to be used as a pawn because he told you that you could use him as a pawn when he used you as a pawn. And he's just been, you know, all over the place ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hannah was really throwing Frenchie under the bus the entire day, really just like talking about his BS all day, which was lovely. And so to have somebody outside of the slaughterhouse also come to Kylan and say, look, Frenchie is a problem, I think this was really important.
Mm-hmm. So then Xavier comes in and Kylan says, look, Xavier, it would be really helpful if the second vote was you. And Xavier's sorry, it's not. He's like, okay. Was it Brent? It's like Xavier's like, I don't think so. And so they're like, okay, how do we feel about Frenchie? They talk through the Frenchie stuff. Xavier basically, and most of the time when they're talking about Frenchie, they're not naming him.
Mm-hmm.
So silly. Xavier says, look, if he comes for you, I've got your back. And he agrees that he should go straight up on the block. And Xavier also brings up, I think it's a good idea that our teams work together, kings and queens. Kylan says, okay, well, for my sake, I want to nominate Frenchie and Brittany.
Damn it.
French. No. Poor Kylan. He tries again so hard, but this is lovely for us. So thank you.
Xavier is the person that he gives the most amount of information to. Yeah. He has been talking game with Xavier, not as much with some of the other people in the game, but I'm wondering if that's mostly because Xavier has been lying low so much and doesn't talk a lot of game. I've definitely gotten the sense that Xavier is one of Kylan's go-to people, even though they don't talk as much game as he does with Sarah Beth or with Tiffany. I really feel like Xavier is still one of those people that once if Xavier starts getting more into the game, could end up pulling Kylan toward him and away from those other people. But we'll see.
Well, there was a conversation later that Kylan and X had where Kylan essentially came to X and was like, you are the one or one of the people that I come to that keeps me calm, that is like my emotional rock, that keeps me stable. I just really appreciate you. It wasn't even necessarily that he appreciated him from a game perspective or like, oh, you're my number one. I trust you 100%. It was just on an emotional human level, you are the person that I vibe with, that I need in this house. And I think that that is the strongest connection. And it's so easy to change that into a game relationship as well. So yeah, for sure. They, or at least Kylan, feels super, super close to X.
Yes. Okay. Xavier out, Brent in. They talk about Big D being one of the votes. And Brent's like, yeah, he lied to me. And Kylan asks, so, cause they're talking about the votes, they're talking about whatever. And like all of the past conversations now have been about Frenchie and what happened today. And hasn't come up. It's like, was there anything dramatic that happened today? And Brent's like, no,
nope.
I don't think so. He's like, really? Nothing at all happened today. And Brent was like, well, I mean, there was Frenchie saying like F the slaughterhouse or, you know, whatever. And Colin's like, okay, so you didn't feel like that was worth sharing initially. Why is that? It's like, oh, you know, I was just like, he mumbled it. And so I don't know, like I didn't really fully hear what was said. And, you know, I didn't think it was that big of a thing or anything like that. But and Khan's like, do you think that 7 of the 8 slaughterhouse members could continue working together? It's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if we were to get rid of an 8th person, who would that person be? Brent's like, well, the person that has been, you know, promising things and going back on it and running around and being all weird. And so yeah, it would be that Frenchie. He's like, yeah. Okay. And do you think that I should let this person play in the veto? Like, yeah, I don't think he's going to win. And then Brent tries to, by the way, if this sounds like a longer conversation, it's because it was. The knock came and Kylan was like, can I have more time, with Brent? And so Brent is then going to try and talk about, well, so one thing is that Frenchie, told us that he was approached by the women about an alliance. I think it was Brittany that tried to organize that. And you know, if we're concerned about that, that might be something that we could look into. It's pretty clear that Brent's not left the Frenchie train yet. And he is trying to do his soft touch. Mm-hmm. Let's spin this around. But it's far too late at this point. A soft touch will get you crushed by this train. And luckily for him, it was a barely touch, and he was able to be like, oh, what? No, screw Frenchie. I don't care.
Which is interesting to then see Brent later in the evening when he's just completely super angry with Frenchie. But I mean, the fact that literally everybody else before Brent had thrown Frenchie under the bus, like, come on, there's no way. Like, nothing you're going to do is going to make a difference. Sorry,
yes.
Brent.
Now, during the Brent conversation and during some of the Claire conversation later, there's another interlude. And this one's an interesting one. It's Tiffany and Christian. We cut into her telling Christian, she says, you should tell Kylan that you've made amends with Derek X. Tiffany doing work for Derek X. They lied to you about him. They lied to you about him. Tell Kylan that you're cool with him and then you can be included in what we're doing. He's like, absolutely, I'm going to do that. She says, stick with me. I am not going to steer you wrong, Christian. She says it will be difficult for us if we leave Frenchie, Whitney, and Brent in this house together. Now, this is obviously dangerous from Tiffany. He is still in an alliance with Brent and Whitney, but she is trying to pull him away from them. He says people that are, or sorry, he says, I thought you were close with those people. Whitney and Frenchie and them, your parents and stuff. She said that was their strategy. Like, Whitney's never talked a lick a game with me. You know, like this is not this, like, this is what they're doing. And she says, Kylan is low in Frenchie's pecking order. And Christian says, I know him and I both are at the bottom of that thing. And she says, with Frenchie, Whitney and Brent gone, we all have a chance. It's our two teams plus Derek X. We have eight. He says, I would love that. And she says, look, Christian, you can't be a king over there. In order to be a king, you have to make your own team. Derek X doesn't even want to be a king. He just wants to play. Kings are strong. Queens are strong. Kings and queens together are strong. Kristen says, aces, jokers, deuces.
I loved this. I loved this conversation. And the fact that Sarah Beth had already mentioned, look, the kings and queens, we need to work together. Tiffany, the kings and queens, we need to work together. Christian is understandably upset with Frenchie. But then I also loved the added benefit of Tiff being like, look, and there's a three-headed snake or whatever she was calling it. It's not just Frenchie. He's not just the only scapegoat. There's two others that are part of that, Whitney and Brent as well. And the fact that Christian and Brent already have animosity, I think that works in her favor to kind of start to pit those two against each other.
Yes. So this is a great poll. Tiffany has been putting in a lot of work to try and create this Kings and Queens plus Derek X alliance, which puts her in a very strong position if it comes together. It's difficult to create it. She's essentially trying to create a week one structure in week two. Mm-hmm. And she's using the messiness of the existing structure to bounce off of. And she's using Kylan's power that's not even her own to try and craft this. She's running into a couple of problems. One is that it's week two and not week one. Two is that she's not the HOH. Kylan is. Three is that Kylan is kind of fighting her on it in a way, right? Kylan is down for this alliance, but he's also working hard to make sure the existing Slaughterhouse stays together. And that's not good for Tiffany. So she's fighting these existing things and she's, fighting a dangerous battle, when she is, talking about Brent and Whitney with somebody like Christian, who talks a lot of game with Brent and Whitney and is in an alliance with them. Now, so far, it's going well. And I think that she is very good at this and that she could very well pull this off. But she's playing a risky game that has a lot of potential reward. And I love it.
It's so fun. It's so fun. Her mind, just so fun to watch. And look. Kylan is, as we can tell from all of his one-on-one conversations, like you said, kind of wanting to keep the Slaughterhouse together minus Frenchie, you know? I mean, understandably, like, he would feel covered by all of these other people. It makes sense. But if enough distrust can happen between the other members, and by the other members, I really mean Brent and Christian, then I think that we could see the actual true self-destruction, because Frenchie right now is just the safe, the scapegoat, much like he tried to make Derek X the scapegoat here to the Slaughterhouse. And, you know, if everything gets put on him, then potentially the Slaughterhouse can come back together. But oof, yeah, this is so fun to watch unfold. There's a lot of subtlety going on and pushing people in the right direction. And I just think it could really pay off. It could also backfire, but hopefully it'll pay off.
What's particularly interesting to me is that what Tiffany is attempting to put together, whether intentional or not, more resembles the dominant strategy of Big Brother has been the Derek playbook since Derek played. And even before that, it was kind of, it was the original spawn of it was the Brigade, right? Prior to that, the Dan Gheesling playbook was in existence. And that was also kind of, a precursor to the ultimate dominant strategy. I talked about this in an off-season podcast I did, which talked about the evolution of a dominant alliance structure in Big Brother. But what Dan did in season 10, especially was that he sort of created a network of relationships and then built a majority, not necessarily majority, but built an alliance structure on top of that. What Derek did is he created a structure from scratch at the beginning and then built layers on top of it that he was able to sort of cut down. But Tiffany is following the sort of Dan Gheesling approach a little bit more, which is the and again, whether intentional or not, and almost perhaps out of necessity because she wasn't in power in the first week. She was with Frenchie, but didn't focus on guiding him in the direction that she wanted to. So instead, she has created small pockets of people in the first week. And now in the second week is building a group on top of the small pockets of people. And the end result is something similar, where she has one big group to have for force, for power, and then small little groups to keep her protected and keep her influenced, influencing, you know, the whole house, if that's, you know, where it ends up going. And it's very, very interesting to watch. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more to talk about in terms of that, especially if it ends up working, but, very excited about it.
Yes, yes. And we'll see. But like, that's the thing is like when you have such a chaotic first week, then there's so many more fluid pieces that second week. And so when you have somebody like Tiffany, who is kind of thinking a little bit big picture about, okay, so now how do we take these smaller groups? How do I use them to my advantage? Then I think you naturally get something like this. So that's why, you know, when you say, oh, was it intentional or not? I mean, she's left the chaos after week one. And I think she's doing really what you should be doing in this situation.
So back to the one-on-ones. We're going to get Claire in the room, and she starts explaining how she sees the structure in the house. She's explaining where people went after their conversations and where people were and all of that. You get the clear picture here that what I was saying yesterday on the live feed update, mm-hmm. that waiting until the end of these conversations, I felt like was a mistake, to influence Kylan. Ultimately, the end result here is going to be okay for what their goals were. But I think that was a valid concern, because Kylan is very clearly at this point, like, I know exactly what I'm doing and nothing is going to change my mind. And these conversations didn't really go anywhere with the most important people that he was, you know, supposed to talk to. One funny thing, though, is that she says, here's how I see the structure of the house. Frenchie, he's got like a collection of people around him who are willing to throw him under the box or whatever.
Yeah, the person using the structure of the house then forgets like throwing them under the bus. I prefer throwing Frenchie under the box. I think that's more hilarious. But yeah, I mean, this is Claire's approach here was also very needs to be a longer conversation, because, you know, she's speaking a little bit vaguely and this needs to be something that is built early on with 5 minutes. Kylan's just like, okay, bye. Like, I don't have time. I've already thought about what I'm going to do. We're moving on. This really had little influence. I mean, to be honest, to me, at least, I felt like where the Frenchie nomination came from is, I mean, obviously all of the previous conversations and what Frenchie did previously in the house. So I think Claire didn't really do much here.
Mm-hmm. Frenchie is in the meantime going to be talking to Whitney. Another interlude here. She's upset. She's like, I feel like I have a right to be upset because of what happened earlier. And he says, look, I was told that half of the slaughterhouse was turning against me. Where was Frenchie told this information? We don't know. He probably made it up.
Yes.
That's my guess. Yes. She's like, I just don't understand why you were pointing at me. He's like, I wasn't pointing. I just talk with my hands. That's what I do. I talk with my hands. What he said was, as far as the other half of the house, I'm out. And he said it in front of Hannah. And she's like, why did you say it in front of people? He's like, I didn't. He's like, Hannah was right there. That was Hannah? I thought that was Alyssa.
Yeah, that was awkward.
He's like, we were supposed to be ride or die. She's like, we were. And he's like, and what I was told, the words that I was told, I was the flirtmance and the rest of them. And I heard something about parental bonds. And she's like, okay, so who's talking crap then? Who's saying this stuff? She's like, I just want to let it go. I just want to let it go. He says half the people in the alliance are doing this stuff. And I was told that somebody knows about our side of the house. And so things we're talking about are slipping out. We got leaks. And what's really funny, something that I really enjoyed about this conversation, is that they're sitting in the bedroom that is open, right? You walk in, there are two bedrooms that are closed off with doors. One of the bedrooms is just open in the hallway. And so they're having this conversation in that bedroom, sitting on one of the beds facing the hallway. And lots of people are walking by. And that's normal. People walk by during conversations in that room all the time because it's, you know, part of a hallway, essentially. But during this conversation where Frenchie is being sort of interrogated and Whitney's upset, anytime somebody goes by, Frenchie is yelling to them like, hey, did you get your laundry? Is that working out? How's your back feeling? Like he is the person in the movie who's like walking down the hallway in the office, like, hey, Joe, how's it going?
Hey.
Oh, how's the family? Like he's trying to be that guy in that spot, but like he's stationary having an intense conversation as people walk by who are barely acknowledging him, but he still thinks he's that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like the, I don't know, thinking the residual power of the HOH still makes a difference. The only person to really entertain him was Brittany for a little bit of time. And Whitney just like clearly has no time for this. She's just like, we're in the middle of a conversation. Can you not be doing this right now? Hilarious.
Yeah. And so he then concludes this conversation with, and yeah, I threw that competition. You'll see like halfway through the competition. That's why I was like, we're just, like, oh, just can we get this over with? Because I knew it was going to be some nonsense prize. So I was just like, I didn't even want it.
Yeah, what a martyr. Ugh, it wasn't even worth it. I might as well just have thrown it. Okay, Frenchie. Especially when earlier, when he's running around and even what Hannah said, that was like, oh, Frenchie was like, I got a gun for the wild card. But oh no, he threw it. Right, he threw it. Got it.
Yes. So, okay. It's time for Tiffany. And this is the final conversation that we will see on the feeds before they cut. Tiffany is going to jump in and she says, first of all, you are CEO in here. You are the boss man. I love it. He says, look, I don't really want anything specific from you because, again, it's already decided at this point. She waited too long. But she says, OK, I've got some questions for you and you don't have to answer them. I just want you to think about it. She says, have you identified your position in this game? Have you identified the power in this game? Have you identified your position with the power in this game? And have you identified how to shift that to your benefit?
Heavily implying like you don't have the power, so you should shift it towards yourself. Like just throwing that out there.
Yes. Essentially like asking the questions to get him thinking about making sure that he is using this power to his benefit. And she says, look, Frenchie doesn't need to go on the block this week, but the big picture is that he's powerful and dangerous to keep in this game in the long run. The one thing to take from him in his HOA train is to weaken your nemesis' defenses. Those defenses are the two people that cast those votes, Brent and Whitney. They're a three-headed monster in this house. They took a shot at you and Derek trying to frame you for that vote. Now, we obviously know that she knows that she was the vote. She is intentionally trying to frame Brent and Whitney for this vote. Now, this is a bit of a misstep because they already know, Kyland and many of the people in the slaughterhouse, that at least one of those votes was Big D and not Brent or Whitney. Now, Kyland did clearly suspect that Brent might be the other vote when he asked Xavier about it. Xavier said he didn't think so. We know that he trusts and respects Xavier's opinion. And Kyland, after that conversation with Xavier, started questioning, okay, what if it was somebody outside of the alliance? If Kyland was thinking critically about Tiffany, he may start to think somebody outside of the alliance, somebody with the idea that they might want to frame some people. You might start to think it might be Tiffany. That'd be concerning. But so far, so fine. Nothing seems to have come from this, but that's her sort of play here. Take a shot at Brent and Whitney. They were the votes, and they clearly were taking a shot at you, and they were clearly with Frenchie. So take out his two knights.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And she also mentions this strategy to Christian as well, where it's like, look, Frenchie, whatever, but these are the two other people that you need to be cautious of, right? Take out somebody close to Frenchie. And Brent is even more dangerous because he controls Frenchie and Whitney, or at least that's what Tiffany says here. So this is kind of the play of like, look, just because Frenchie is just one, right? Let's not forget that there are other people that we need to be worried about in the house as well. So I love the fact that she is starting to imply or at least make Kylan to potentially consider other people, although obviously it doesn't really work here. And then also, you know, Tiffany goes on to pitch the Kings, Queens, and Derek X as a group that should work together.
Yes, she says that Brent is the most powerful person in the house. He controls both Frenchie and Whitney. But look, as long as one of that three-headed snake leaves, we're better off. And he says, well, is there anyone outside of us and Sarah Beth that you would be upset if they touched the block this week? And she says, basically, nobody else is worth putting up. She says, as you said, Kings, Queens, Derek X, that's the alliance. And he says, well, is there any scenario or situation where maybe you would consider ever working with Brent and Whitney? And she says, working with a snake, you're going to get bit either now or down the road. One of them has to go, and then we'll have numbers. We don't need to worry about the other two. We don't need to be in an alliance with them. We don't need to work with them. We can just take them out. Again, this is a bit risky here. She's taking a hard line on Brent and Whitney. And rightfully so for her game, but Kylan isn't really thinking along those same lines. Kylan is thinking in terms of his structure that he wants to have Slaughterhouse here, Kings and Queens here, and then, you know, Cookout in between, essentially. And you can definitely see why that is an appealing thought for Kylan. And I do think that it is potentially a great spot for him. Now, the only thing to be concerned, I think, with Kylan in that spot is that the Slaughterhouse was a very bad place for him just last week. And it wasn't just Frenchie that was the reason. Nobody in that alliance beyond Xavier trusted him at all. And they were all talking about potentially cutting him early. Now, all of a sudden, he's in power and everyone is all hunky dory and they all love Xavier, or they all love Kylan. They all want Frenchie to go, and that's all well and good. How long can that last? I don't know. He could be creating lasting bonds with these people, and maybe he will reintegrate himself in with Slaughterhouse, and maybe that will be a good place for him. Maybe all he needs is a temporary reprieve from these people, and they will have to focus on other people in the, for the time being. And then, you know, things can be okay from there. My preference for Kylan was to really just blow this thing up and create something else from scratch. Something like Kings and Queens, but maybe something a little bit more advantageous to himself. I think my biggest problem for Kylan in particular is that, yes, he has two things on both sides and Cookout in the middle, but he is not central in any of them. And that is a little bit concerning. Kings and Queens benefits, Kings and Queens plus Derek X tends to benefit Tiffany a little bit more than him. Slaughterhouse tends to benefit most. It's hard to say right now because it's such a mess, but probably not him. He's not exactly in the central position there. And then Cookout is also not really where he is, like has the most amount of connections either. So I was hoping that he would have at least one group where he was the real power in that group. But either way, he is in a much, much better position than he was before and has taken extreme steps forward in his game and should be able to do some great things from here. Again, very interesting stuff going on. Tiffany going in one direction, Kylan going in another direction. And then, the rest of the house also still playing. We have a lot of game players in this cast and a lot of moving pieces. And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm very excited about all of it.
Right. One thing about the Slaughterhouse is people have a tendency to bond over shared trauma. And, you know, you could consider Frenchie being in the house potentially a traumatic experience. So this could end up bonding the members of the Slaughterhouse. But I just, again, I'm going to talk about this. Just the way that I hear Christian and Brent talk about each other to others, like that just, it worries me a little bit for the rest of the Slaughterhouse. Now, what does that mean for Kylan? Does it mean that then, you know, when it blows up, he's not going to get hit, right? Because it's going to be those two white guys going after each each other, that's definitely an option. But it does feel that even though Kylan is the HOH, that he's not the center of the house. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, it just definitely feels like the power somehow is elsewhere, despite him being the one in the HOH room.
Exactly. And I think that sort of suits his game style as well, to be fair. He's not really somebody that I think that wants to necessarily be a power player, and that can be okay as well. He is positioned centrally, but he is not the center of power.
Yes.
So it's an important distinction. And that may work well for him because he is well-liked and he is somebody that can potentially, sort of move forward from here without having to play a more powerful game. And I think that he's perfectly capable of winning the respect of a jury at the end of the game without having to be a, massive power player. But he is making some good moves here. And I think that Frenchie blowing up early in the day really, really helped this style of game because he really had the best excuse in the world to make the move that he needed to make without having to do anything overtly, powerful. It was like, well, this is a problem that has popped up and I'm now going to solve this problem. It's essentially what Frenchie wanted to do, except Frenchie also wanted to take a little bit more power. And so he created his own problems and
Right. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Look, when you have a bunch of people coming to you and saying like, hey, this guy's a problem, I think it would be a detriment for us to keep him around. And that's such an easy excuse to then just be like, okay, bye, Frenchie.
Yes. Okay. So after the conversation with Tiffany, the feeds go down. We do not see the conversation with Frenchie. when the feeds come up, Kylan has in fact nominated Frenchie and Brittany. I'm just thinking back to the premiere night. When I was like, I think that I would have gone for that safety. and everyone was like, no way.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we didn't know Frenchie was going to Frenchie all over the place. All right. So like,
I asked for the clip on Twitter. I was like, I feel like if anybody needs a pick me up, just watch the clip of Frenchie completing the task that would have made him safe this week. Had he gone for it. Oh,
that's the worst too, because Julie made him do it. Like, Julie. Oh, she's gonna have a field day when he exits the house. Anyway.
Yes. All right. So Frenchie and Brittany on the block. Feeds come back up to Brittany sobbing. And this is gonna last for at least an hour. A little bit more, I think. And Frenchie, what a great guy. He's comforting her. Hey, don't you worry about it. Don't you even think about it. You stay calm. You lie low. I'm leaving this week. I'm going to take care of everything. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm going to blow up. I'm going to make sure the target stays on me. And one thing I hadn't told anyone yet, is that I planned on donating, all the money to, Children's Hospital, but that's okay. That's fine. Cause you know what? I get to go home and see my babies. And that is worth more than anything, including, I think, donating to children's hospitals. So if I win the veto, I'm using it on you, Brittany. Don't you, I'm going to take care of everything.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, all right. So the Jokers are all in a room together. Like, I just like to really fully set the stage. The Jokers, also a very apt name in retrospect for that team. Truly the Jokers. Brittany's crying. Oz is crying. And then Taryn did a perfect reenactment of Frenchie's selfless martyrdom as he takes the sword himself, of course, to take everything off of Brittany. And oh yeah, it just slipped out that he would have donated the money to charity. Okay, Frenchie. He goes on to repeat these phrases throughout the night, so it's kind of hard to keep track of like when everything is happening. There's also a lot of, more weird phrases like life is too short, you have to find the sunshine in the rain, and stuff about some grass later and snakes, which we'll talk about. But yes, oh my gosh, this was wild.
You know how earlier I said that Frenchie thought he was the person in the movie that walks down the hallway and is like, hey, Frenchie in this moment thinks that he is in like, a movie, and he is the dying sort of like mentor, who is like, it's okay. You know, like, it's a don't, I've taken care of everything. You're going to go on and do this. Mm-hmm. Go on without me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, now that is him now. Frenchie is, a guy who is just constantly playing a role. Whether it's from an archetype in a movie, or just whatever he thinks that the person he's talking to wants to hear. This becomes increasingly more clear. Obviously it was clear last week, but it becomes increasingly more clear now that he is desperate and talking to people, post nominations. I may have referenced this before, in Big Brother coverage, but if you've ever seen the movie Shattered Glass, with Hayden Christensen, it's about a reporter that, just made stuff up, and then when it was caught, just continued to double down and try to escape, like, oh yes, I was lying about that, but not about this. And they were just lying about everything. That is Frenchie. He just can't, there is no just like rock bottom, I give up. Here's the truth. Everything is always an angle, and he is always trying to, like, you know what I mean, like, there's no just like bottom layer,
right, of like, I've cracked, here's mm-hmm. the real truth, let me just be raw and vulnerable and completely open up. It's just spirals on spirals on spirals on spirals of continuing to make something stay afloat, like, unclear. But that is Frenchie's MO, and he continues to do it throughout the entire evening.
Yes. So in the meantime, Tiffany, Claire, and Kylan are going to be talking. They're telling him for a while now. I almost tweeted out, like, I don't know if anybody heard this, if you were watching the feeds last night, but from what I've heard, Kylan did a really great job.
Oh my God. Literally every person, like, you did such a great job. Just giving him that pump up talk. You did a great job.
You did such a great job. Oh my God. You were so good. I just think that you were amazing. And, just like, you just can, it was a long, long conversations about that. Tiffany's going to bring up the Kings, Queens, and Derek X again. She is like continuing to push this. Kylan says that the Kings seem to be on board. They do talk about Hannah potentially being involved, but they're not sure about her. I don't know what it is about Hannah. She seems like the most steady, like rock solid person, and nobody ever seems sure. They all seem to think that she's like wishy-washy and like they can't be sure about her. I don't understand it at all. I've never been so like far away from a house guest read. I don't understand it.
Maybe that's one of those things you have to be in person to like get it or something.
I guess that she's young, right? But that's the only thing.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's something about the way sometimes she does speak kind of very directly. So I don't, but then shouldn't that give you that, confidence, right, that she's speaking directly with you? Yeah, I don't know. It makes no kind of sense.
Yeah. He talks about like one of the reasons Brittany's up there. He's heard some things about Brittany. She's always walking into rooms trying to get information. Obviously the thing that, that Brent said, the real reason he put Brittany up, and he's going to say it to Brittany straight up, is that, she doesn't have, you know, any sort of ability to retaliate essentially. And he's not in any alliances with her. So, Kylan is going to talk to Frenchie, and Frenchie gives Kylan the similar pitch. I get it. And look, I can ask one thing of you. Is that if the target is on Brittany, you switch it to me. Okay? Okay? And if I win that veto, I'm using it on her. I don't want her to feel like she does right now.
What a martyr. What a martyr. That was the thing that made me laugh so hard, was like, if she's the target, flip it on to me. Right.
Like, you had any notion that she was the target.
And then he like goes on. He's like, I know I'm the target. And then, oh my gosh. It was just, well, this conversation was also interesting because then it was like Kai almost trying to do damage control here, of like, how do I kind of salvage this in the moment? So
he wants to like get the slaughterhouse together, see what they can figure out moving forward. And you know, if anything can be salvaged, I would imagine that this is mostly just in the event that Frenchie does win the veto and shocker, doesn't fulfill his promise to use it on Brittany and stays in the game. So Frenchie's going to talk with Big D, and there are many conversations here. I'm going to mostly summarize the Big D Frenchie conversations and Big D in general. Let's just suffice to say that Big D is pissed.
But not pissed enough to get up from the daybed. Well, no, that's not true. Pissed enough to at one point make it to the nomination chairs for a brief period of time, in which he will also then be upset and then go back to the daybed to be upset later. That's where I saw him yesterday.
Yeah. Frenchie says, don't worry. America sees this. They're going to come through for me. They're so pissed right now.
the feeds are lit right now. Like, people are so upset. America's going to give us a diamond power of veto. Like, yes, that's what America thinks.
Yes. None of the slaughterhouse can be trusted at this point, Big D. None of them have your back.
Oh, my God. And it's always the jocks.
I knew it all along, the jocks.
We were outnumbered. Okay. Big Brother put so many jocks in this house. How are we even supposed to compete? Ugh, they always prejudge me.
I took one out. That's my legacy in this game, is that I took out a jock. And you know, I just hate it when women and minorities are going out first. And so that's what I came in this house for. And you know, hey, look, if you think about it, just think about it. Mm. Is Frenchie really a mastermind ally? Think about it. He took out a jock, a meathead.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Week one.
Mm-hmm.
Did it in a way that was so messy that he became the target for week two. Think about this. Frenchie, white male.
Mastermind.
Two in a row.
He's not even
HOH, and he's taking out white men.
He did it. What a genius. Oh my gosh. This is another one of those moments where I'm like, God, if we didn't have feeds that first week, like, what would I be thinking right now? Oh my gosh. Genius.
Yeah. Kyland is going to talk with Brenton Whitney. He talks about wanting to keep the alliance together. There's a lot of this stuff, things that take place after the nomination ceremony are a lot more general and less straightforward than the other conversations, obviously. But the general feeling here is that, again, Kyland wants to keep Slaughterhouse together, and Slaughterhouse is slowly realizing that Frenchie is not going to go down without a fight, and they're going to get pretty pissed about it. So that's sort of what we're looking at. Kyland does talk with Brittany. He says, look, it was nothing personal. I understand how you feel, because I went through the same thing. She's not happy about it. He says, you were the only person that didn't say something about Frenchie in our conversations. And she's like, okay, if I had said something about Frenchie, would I still be on the block? It's like,
yes.
and he basically says, if I'm being honest, the reason you're on the block is because you don't have the capacity to offer me safety to the same degree that other people do.
Yeah, it was like, okay, you don't have an alliance. You can't protect me, so bye. Oh, and Frenchie. Like your connection with Frenchie. Those are like the two main things here.
Kyland is going to talk with Big D. Big D is going to campaign for Frenchie. He says it's better for the cookout for Frenchie to stay in this game. And he is incensed. Why is it that Derek X all of a sudden is off of the radar? How come this little weasel gets to come back in and nobody's mad? Why is nobody looking at Derek X anymore? Why is it poor Frenchie up there?
Big D is really incensed about the whole Derek X of it all. He just has something out for him. I mean, I would love to know if Derek X was named like Scott or something, would Big D care even a modicum of what he does here? And this was the moment where it was like, okay, we've lost Big D to Frenchie. Like, this is 100% nail in the coffin. Like, he's done, because he's advocating for him. He's buying into Frenchie's BS, where Big D is essentially saying, And this is, again, this is the mastermind strategy Taron was talking about, where Frenchie's going to go after the white guys. You know, he's going to leave us alone. He's going to take those shots that we can't take. Why aren't we keeping him in the game? Why isn't Derek X up there? Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. Big D's like, man, I thought it would be fun to be Big D, but I'm sick of it. I just need to be Derek again. I don't know. That's not what he said. I'm just making that up. All right. So Kyland is going to talk with Azza for a bit. She was kind of left out of the loop, mm-hmm. And is not super pleased about the fact that like two of her teammates are nominated and what's going on. And she asks him who he will put up as a replacement nominee. And Kyland is going to tell this to multiple people, but he basically says, I am not wasting any brain power on who might be a replacement nominee until it happens. I'm not wasting any of that, like CPU, usage. Like, it's not even a thought yet. Don't ask me.
Yeah, no overclocking. No liquid cooling here to keep things, you know, running smoothly. Yeah, I mean, this was funny because this conversation with Azza was like when Kyland is allowed to have more time. This is what game conversations might look like. So it was very long. It was very drawn out. But really, I think those are kind of like the big takeaways from that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Kyland is also going to talk with Derek X, and Derek is going to bring up that, hey, what about this group that we were potentially thinking of? Kyland says, look, if unrelated to what I'm saying right now, there happened to be a situation where people that we're talking about came up, like not all of, but a couple people, and then something happened at that point, like that would be an agreeable situation.
Is this Kyland?
Yes.
Yeah. So I didn't like quite understand the inner workings of all of this, but Kyland came up with something about like, he was going to have 12 meetings today, like, so not yesterday, and that will include subsets of different people that then will solidify things. I'm not quite sure, but it was discussed.
Derek is like, so you want me to bring the people up? Is that what we're doing?
It was very confusing.
Brent is going to talk with Whitney and Hannah. And Hannah is going to be telling them all of the things that Frenchie was saying about them earlier today, saying apparently that he was calling Brent the head of the snake. We missed a lot because, again, I don't know where this came from, but Frenchie just decided earlier today when the feeds were down that the slaughterhouse was turning on him and that Brent had turned on him and that Brent was the head of the snake and that he was that half of the alliance, the flirtmance and the parental bonds had gone awry and that he was done with that side of the house. I need to know, because again, I feel like probably what happened is that Frenchie was just feeling paranoid,
yes,
that he was going to go on the block, and like probably saw Brent talking to Christian and was like, why are they talking, not me? That's, I'm hearing that they're turning on me. I bet it was Derek X that told me. And so I can only imagine that that's what happened. But anyway,
well, I mean, the benefit is that we saw how he sort of fabricated the Christian Alyssa thing and how fast he went from targeting no women and no minorities to then going after Alyssa. And you know what I mean? So like we kind of know how he spirals. So I would 100% believe that this is just like made up. There was another conversation with like Brent and Derek X that happened a little bit earlier, but kind of like feeds mm-hmm. into all of this. Like they're all kind of having the same conversation mm-hmm. where this is where Brent like really starts to come across to me as like he's completely over Frenchie. So mm-hmm. he's heard about this whole like Frenchie blowing up the alliance thing, and he's just trying to do damage control with Derek X. And then, you know, Whitney joins later, and then Hannah comes in as well. And then this is where they're kind of like all airing their grievances about Frenchie. And so this is where you kind of get to see, especially someone Brent, who was somewhat defending kind of Frenchie earlier in the day. It felt like a switch. He was just done with him.
Yes, exactly. So now that he's heard that Frenchie has been actively talking about him, calling him the head of the snake, he's like, what was, I think, a facade of, well, if Frenchie's going down, I'm not going down with the ship, turned into a genuine screw that guy.
Yes.
And so that's what's happening there. He's going to talk with Christian. Again, all of these conversations are happening multiple times now. But like, can't believe the things that Frenchie's saying. And throughout this, you know, they're starting to catch on to some of Frenchie's lies. And I tweeted about this, but like, you know, something that we talked about last week was that Frenchie is all over the place, would just create complete falsehoods, spread them around. People would just believe them, take them in. And that the fact that he held power over them gave them incentive to kind of accept his version of reality. And now that Frenchie, and that held even after Frenchie technically didn't have power anymore, because the perception that he was powerful was still there. The second Frenchie stopped being perceived as powerful, this guy might go on the block. This guy might go home. Nobody respects him anymore. It was like their minds expanded and they were like, wait a minute, Frenchie could have been lying about things.
Oh, maybe Derek X didn't do all those things.
Yeah, maybe Derek X isn't lying and he isn't the one that said that Christian and Alyssa were a thing. Maybe that was just Frenchie. And maybe this whole Women's Alliance thing, maybe it just came from Frenchie. And just all of Frenchie's, like, they're just unraveling every little piece of it that they couldn't wrap their minds around. They didn't even question it really before. And I say that it's not like everyone bought into Frenchie's stuff hook, line, and sinker. They knew that Frenchie was a wild card. And that's the thing too. They knew he was a wild card. They knew he was prone to making things up. They didn't believe absolutely everything he said, but they did believe a lot of what he said. Even the people who wanted him out, and did, like, even people like Tiffany, even like people just kind of took it. But now that he's not in power, everything that he was making up is now coming unraveled. And my guess is that the seesaw here will continue to dip, and Frenchie will be our new scapegoat. And even things that he's saying that are the truth will start to sound like lies to people, because it's really less about the actual thing and the actual truth and more about the person that's saying it and how much power they have or you perceive they have.
But like, what truths though? Because like, to be honest,
well, again, there's no base layer here, so there is no real truth with Frenchie.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, this is really interesting. It's like they're reaching enlightenment. You love to see it. People are starting to compare notes, but now with the critical eye of like, oh yeah, this guy's a wacko. Like maybe this isn't real. It's interesting though, because Big D though, still right by Frenchie's side, as far as I can tell, which is very bizarre, but you know, yes. Daddy power, I guess.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Didn't need to be said.
Sorry.
There's just Christian, Brent, Xavier, all these people talking about. Brent is going to start being like, yeah, you know, he approached me about a final two, and I'm sure he did for a lot of people. You know, it's all coming out. Everything is getting exposed. And as we said, Alyssa's starting to realize maybe Derek didn't do that. In the meantime, Frenchie is going to talk with Brittany, Claire, and Tiffany, and Big D is going to be there, and he is going to say, "All right, I got something to tell you guys. There's an alliance in this house. It's called the Slaughterhouse, and it's these people." And he names the people, and Brittany is like, "It's called the they took your name."
Oh my gosh, that made me laugh so hard. And the other thing too about Frenchie outing the alliance was like, he clearly couldn't decide what he wanted to lie about when it came to the alliance. So he starts listing people. And I swear, in the exact same conversation, he says Derek X was a part of the Slaughterhouse. The next breath, he says Derek X was being targeted by the Slaughterhouse. And then the next breath after that, Derek X was not working with the Slaughterhouse, but he was definitely like, he wasn't in the Slaughterhouse. He was like working with the Slaughterhouse. And so if you ask him, that's why he doesn't know about the Slaughterhouse, but he was definitely working with those people. It was just and you could see it in his eyes, and he had so much Dr. Pepper last night. It was just all unraveling in front of us.
It was those jocks.
It was the jocks. It's always the jocks. Ugh.
Tiffany and Claire are going to go to Kylan and let him know that Frenchie exposed the slaughterhouse to them. And that he was in it. And you'd think that this is like Kylan, this is exposed. Try not to do too much work to show the entire house that you're trying to keep it together, please. Mm-hmm. Tiffany says again, that slaughterhouse thing, that's done. That's done. Our team, kings, queens, and one ace. Mm-hmm. That's our crew.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much. I'm like trying to remember when everything happened because Frenchie is like, okay, there's one interaction I really want to talk about, and it's with mm-hmm. Brent, and it's when Frenchie, I think, has already outed the, I can't remember when everything is happening, but there was one moment that like, I think perfectly encapsulates sort of how at least Brent feels towards Frenchie, which I think is maybe how the rest of the Alliance will start to feel towards Frenchie, which is Brent was sitting there trying his best to not just yell straight up at Frenchie. And Brent is like, I have to remove myself from the situation. He gets up, he leaves, his mic pack falls, to which, Frenchie is like, oh, your mic fell. And Brent goes, you always have my back. And Frenchie goes, I have your front too. Brent goes, hey yo, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
There you go. Frenchie's also gonna have a long conversation with Azza, telling her about the slaughterhouse. He was just doing it. And this is again, it's just like there's no like, it's over. Here's my game. I mm-hmm. made the slaughterhouse and I didn't include you because of X reasons and blah, blah, blah. I made the slaughterhouse. It was to protect you and my people. That was the only reason is I was trying to align with the jocks. And, my legacy is that I got a jock out first and I protect the minorities. And, I don't know how Azza let this conversation go on as long as it did, but she seems to be entertaining his nonsense. I presume that's just, her being polite, but.
Right. I mean, you never know. I mean, when Frenchie is sitting there saying, I never lied to anybody. How can Kylan stand up there and say that I lied to anybody? I said that the women and the minorities were safe and a white guy went home. So obviously he's never lied in his whole life.
Yeah, and I guess to be fair to Azza here as well, she really has been left out of the loop for most of the day. She did have the conversation with Kylan, but she he's on her team, and mm-hmm. she's kind of floating in the wind here. The Kingslayers never really had like a debrief about anything, mm-hmm. and she is being left out of this whole Kings Queens Ace thing. We'll see where Azza goes from here, but. This has not been the best week for her.
No. And it was also interesting. She has a conversation with Derek X. I think maybe after this, I can't remember where and they were whispering so quietly. It was so hard to tell exactly what they were talking about, but it did feel to a certain extent that Azza was entertaining the idea of like, oh, maybe we do need to go against this, this other alliance. Ultimately at the end, I think she talks about targeting Brent and Whitney, which is kind of on par with what, other members would want to do. So that makes sense. But I'm hoping that this injects a little bit into her that like helps her create bonds, because it felt like she went from, oh, nobody's targeting her, to people would be okay if she went home.
Yeah. And I think the problem is that she is, again, Kingslayers. She's with the women. She has the same motivations. She has the same goals, Brent and Whitney. There's no reason for her to not be a part of this, apart mm-hmm. from the fact that she's on Frenchie's team and she's too attached to Frenchie. She's talked some crap about Frenchie. I don't think that she's, again, she's kind of been left behind a little bit. She's not like at the same level of like, yeah, screw Frenchie, we're all on board. Like she needs to be a little, and this was something that I was concerned about last week. I think she needs to be a little more active in getting out and talking to people and making mm-hmm. sure that she's involved in these new things, because there's no reason why she should be excluded from them. I'm hoping that, that she can either get involved or that her connection via Cookout will keep her in a safe position and in the loop for the time being until something else can shift.
Mm-hmm, right. I mean, and that is the one saving grace, that assuming Big D doesn't blow up the cookout, then at least she has that relationship to at least keep her tangentially tied enough so that then maybe once other things start to fall apart, she can find herself in a more advantageous position. But right now, it definitely feels like she's on the outs.
Mm-hmm. So there's more talk about Frenchie throwing him under the bus, and how he's outing the slaughterhouse, and they're like, have you heard that we are the heads of the snake? Luckily he has no credibility. That women's thing was nonsense. Tiffany, Claire, and Sarah Beth are going to talk late into the night. They are pleased with the day's events. Frenchie can go this week. Tiffany says, we still need to watch out for Brent. Look at how mm-hmm. he is trying to interact with us now. He is trying mm-hmm. to get back in. So they're still going after Brent and Whitney next. That is still the goal. But the day's events are fine. There also was a fun little thing, especially for us. Every Sunday on Twitch, we have been playing Among Us, not me, for the last couple of weeks, because I am in a hell of my own making. So they went ahead, they played some live action Among Us in the house.
Oh my gosh. So not only were they playing this live action Among Us where the tasks were they had to find some limes, yes. They didn't discuss the kill cooldown situation either. So there
Xavier
was
just running around just like, kill, kill, kill.
It was like a pure massacre in the kitchen, because anybody that came close to the dead body, Xavier just killed them. Alyssa and Xavier were the two imposters in the situation. But anyway, so that whole thing is going on. Super fun, really enjoyable. And then the other cams were on Frenchie doing his Frenchie thing, just saying that, like, he was like, this is a you French me, I French you type situation, like Long Derek style. So that's going on. And then Frenchie
is the guy that gets killed first in Among Us and then just talking crap for the rest of the game.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Himself.
Well, that was the thing. It was like Frenchie's already was the first casualty here. Oh, so funny.
Mm. That's pretty much the night here. You know, moving forward, Frenchie is the very clear target. Claims that he is not going to use the veto on himself, even if he wins. This might be sacrilege to say, but I hope Frenchie wins the veto.
Oh my God. I'm glad someone said it. I mean,
because either way, it's, yes. If he uses that on Brittany, amazing. Maybe Brent goes up. I don't know. I'm not saying I want that to happen, but you know, and if he uses it on himself, then also maybe Brent goes up and maybe he sticks around a little bit longer, which, you know, he's annoying, but like, he's adding some chaos juice to this house. And I don't know.
Look, as someone who's team good feeds, team fun feeds, that would be epic chaos. I just and can you imagine the power trip that he would be on because he won? And even he was like, I'm not even gonna if I win, I'm not even gonna say what I'm gonna do with it. I'm gonna surprise him. Oh my gosh.
I'm not gonna say, and then I'm gonna save Brittany, and it's gonna be like boom. And it's again like, if he doesn't do that, it's just another like oh my God, I can't believe Frenchie didn't follow through with another promise, and now he's in the house still and he's a house target, and it's should be potentially interesting. And then if he does do it and he saves Brittany, then mm-hmm. I mean, we're just looking at another like, oh, I can't believe that two times in 1 year somebody didn't use the veto on themselves.
Oh my goodness gracious. That would be and the hilarious part of all of this is like, he also thinks for some reason it could be the wall comp. Yes, of course, the classic week two veto wall comp, as every super fan knows. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I mean, like, cause here's the thing. I got my pound of flesh in that Frenchie's game is just completely demolished at this, but like the fact that he was so messy and wasn't getting caught was like, he needs to get caught. He's gotten caught. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily also need him to go now. Like, now I want Brent to get caught.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I've had that fun. So now we're moving on to something else.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Ah, so fun.
All right. So that's what we've got here for the day. Leon, anything else that you wanted? I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff to talk about. So any other highlights?
I'm just trying to distill down all of the nonsense. No, I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. The one, like, I guess, like, to me, sort of the two things that I do want to mention is the fact that, you know, Frenchie going around and talking about the slaughterhouse, he outed it to Brittany, to Azza, to, I can't remember if Derek X was in the room at the time, potentially Derek X, to Claire, to Tiffany, and to Sarah Beth, at least in these conversations. Now, it's the slaughterhouse minus Derek F and Xavier, and then he's telling those two that they need to work together. So that was also very interesting.
And they noticed, like, Tiffany was like, he's trying to tell me that Derek F isn't in it, and Derek F is right there. And, like, I guess we haven't reported enough that Derek F, Big D's game, has also gone down the toilet here.
Yes.
With many people in the house. His connection to Frenchie is dragging him down, and his own actions, the rogue vote, what he's doing throughout the day, is starting to sketch people out, even within the cookout, even like Christian, even people like he had are now like, Derek F, what is going on?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, understandably so. His behavior, so he's then continuing to mention that we need to protect Frenchie. We need to protect Frenchie, to Tiffany, to Kylan. And Tiffany just shuts him down. Like, no, he's going home. Like, you're going to cast your vote to evict, and he's going to go home. Like, I'm not even going to entertain this idea of keeping Frenchie. The other thing that Puya reminded me of is that Frenchie also told Hannah and Sarah Beth they have absolutely no shot of winning the game, which Hannah then goes on to talk about several times later, which I thought was really funny. They also celebrate. So it was unclear to me. It's not actually Alyssa's birthday today, right? It was like she made up that it was her birthday. So they celebrate her birthday at midnight, which Whitney is the only, so Whitney was asleep upstairs, but everybody else was there celebrating Alyssa's birthday, except for Frenchie, who is in the DR at the time, which was hilarious. And they all cheer for Alyssa. And I really hope that Frenchie could hear it while he was doing his DR session, because I would love for that to be included. And they wrapped Alyssa up in a bunch of toilet paper, and Kai had a very serious conversation with Alyssa while she was wrapped up in toilet paper, which, if I were a Big Brother editor, I would absolutely make sure that that makes the cut for the show.
Okay, so that's pretty much what we've got here. You know, it was a good day. It was a good day.
It was a good day.
Hopefully we get some more. You know, I'm seeing, I like to give some minor updates from the morning of sometimes. Here's a quote from Frenchie to Kylan. I've done nothing but respected you and had your back. Everything I have done has been to keep you safe, Kylan, including putting him up on the block, trying to send him home.
He also said that they took the first shot. Yeah, Frenchie, Kai took the first shot.
It was those jocks. It was Alyssa's birthday, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw someone saying that, like, it actually wasn't her birthday, and that she was just coming up.
Liana was just so shocked by that information.
Oh, Taryn cut out for me. That's so funny. someone was saying that, like, yeah, all right. Well, never mind. Then I lied about that.
Okay. All right. So that's what we've got here. There we go. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, I'll be back to update you on everything that happens today. Tomorrow night, we'll have an episode recap. We'll have some fun. I mean, again, honestly, this was a fun update. But what you should do, if you want to have some fun, go back to when the feeds come back from the wildcard competition. I don't remember what time it was. I think it was like 4 something Big Brother time, and just watch that like hour or two of interaction. It was very frantic, and it's very fun to watch back, especially because you're like watching the conversation and then you see something else happening below and you're like, okay, after this finishes, I'm going to rewind and watch that. And it's really just nonstop. You don't usually get that kind of nonstop entertainment from the feed. It's usually like you have to like pick out moments of like, ooh, this is good. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's boring again. But that was just a pure block of it. It felt, I've seen the set. It felt like a double eviction, but in real time. And it was awesome.
It really did. And I think looking at the timestamps, 2:52 p.m. BBT, Big Brother time. So
okay.
That's when you should go back.
Maybe it ended at 4.
Yeah. Well, I mean, oh my gosh. I also highly recommend it. Very fun. Very fun.
All right. So that's what we have for you again. You can, of course, find us on or find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, or on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Liana. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Podcasting about Drag Race. So that's the other main thing going on right now. So if you do have a few moments to step away from the Big Brother live feeds, I recommend checking out the season of All Star 6. It's been really, really fun.
All right. And of course, again, plenty of Big Brother coverage heading your way. Thank you so much again for joining us here today. And we will see all of you next time.